A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been digging through the strange corners of Amazon's catalog history, and he sent us a very specific challenge. He wants us to find and rank 8 genuinely absurd things that have actually been listed or sold on Amazon over the years. Not stuff you can buy right now, but documented historical examples. The kind of items you'd expect from a specialist supplier, an industrial wholesaler, or somewhere far stranger. He wants them ranked least to most surprising, with an explanation of what each one was, who it was meant for, and what made the logistics of delivering it so ridiculous. The test is whether each one makes you think, I can't believe that existed, let alone that someone could order it on Amazon.
And we found them. Some of these I remembered from news coverage at the time, others I had to dig through archived listings and seller forums to verify. The list we landed on is, It's a Journey. Starts at merely impractical and ends somewhere unsettling.
Let's start with why any of this is possible. Amazon's marketplace model is the root cause here. Third-party sellers list their own products, and Amazon's automated systems don't pre-screen for absurdity. The catalog is a reflection of what sellers think they can move, not what Amazon curates. If it can be shipped, it can be listed. And the definition of shippable is way broader than most people assume.
Right, and that's the mechanism behind every item on this list. Amazon processes something on the order of billions of listings globally. The vast majority are books and phone chargers and dog food. But the same pipeline that handles a paperback also handles a 2,000-pound industrial machine. The platform's algorithms don't care what you're buying, only that it can be shipped and paid for.
The Everything Store promise creates its own loophole. Once you say everything, you've invited sellers to test what everything actually means.
And they have, for decades now. So let's get into the ranking. We're going from merely absurd to hard to believe. And we're starting at number 8 with something that sounds like a punchline, but was a real listing. A full-size industrial wood chipper with free shipping.
Free shipping? To a residential address. The kind of machine that turns tree trunks into mulch. The kind you'd expect to buy from a forestry equipment dealer after signing paperwork and arranging your own freight.
These listings were real. Commercial-grade wood chippers, the sort that weighed north of 2,000 pounds, listed on Amazon with standard checkout. The absurdity isn't the product itself. Wood chippers exist. People buy them. It's the delivery logistics. This thing arrives via freight carrier, palletized curbside delivery only. Meaning a truck shows up at your house, lowers a 2,000-pound crate onto the street in front of your driveway, and drives away. You're now responsible for getting it from the curb to wherever it needs to go.
No installation, no training, no safety guidance. Just a crate the size of a small car and a receipt.
The intended buyer here is probably a small landscaping business or a rural property owner who knows what they're doing. But the listing doesn't discriminate. Anyone with a credit card and a driveway can order one.
It's the same phrase they use for toothpaste. That's the collision.
Number 7 follows the same pattern, but in a different direction. A professional-grade commercial pizza oven. The kind designed for restaurant kitchens, running on industrial power, capable of firing pizzas at 800 degrees. Listed for home delivery.
Who buys a restaurant pizza oven for their house?
A few different people. A small business owner cutting out the equipment dealer middleman, saving maybe 30% on the purchase. Someone building a serious outdoor kitchen who's done the electrical work to support it. Or, and this is where it gets interesting, someone who doesn't fully understand what they're ordering. These ovens often require 3-phase power, which most homes don't have. You'd need an electrician to install a converter or run new service. The listing rarely makes that clear up front.
So you order what looks like a really nice pizza oven, and what arrives is a piece of commercial kitchen equipment that your house literally can't power.
And returns on something that heavy are a nightmare. Freight return shipping on a 400-pound oven isn't the same as dropping a paperback in a UPS box. This is where the marketplace model starts to show cracks. Amazon's return infrastructure is built for consumer goods, not industrial equipment. But the listing and the checkout flow treat them identically.
Number 6 is where we cross from impractical into strange. A life-size replica of a Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton. The kind of thing museums commission from specialist fabricators. Amazon had these listed, sold in kit form, shipped in pieces, requiring assembly.
I found documented listings for these going back years. They're resin casts of fossil skeletons, accurate down to the individual bone, and they ship in multiple enormous crates. The assembled skeleton stands something like 12 feet tall and 40 feet long. The listing photos would show it in a museum atrium or a collector's gallery, and then the shipping details would say something like, delivery in 4 to 6 weeks via freight.
What does the delivery driver think when they pull up to a suburban house with that?
They probably think they have the wrong address, but they don't. Someone with a big enough garage or a very understanding spouse has decided they need a dinosaur skeleton, and Amazon is where they bought it. The intended buyer is, I don't know, honestly, a wealthy eccentric. A small museum that's figured out Amazon is cheaper than going through museum supply channels. Someone who really, really likes dinosaurs and has more space than sense.
The collision here is the same one we keep seeing. A museum-grade artifact moving through the same logistics network that delivers your toothpaste. The system doesn't distinguish between consumer and industrial, between reasonable and absurd. It just moves boxes.
And that's the pattern that connects the first three. These aren't joke listings or pranks. They're real commercial products from real sellers, aimed at niche buyers using Amazon's infrastructure because it's the path of least resistance. The platform's algorithms don't care what's in the crate.
So that's the baseline of absurd. Now let's talk about the ones that made us question whether the listing was even real.
Number 5 is where we cross into disturbing territory. A fully functional military-grade flamethrower. Not a novelty lighter, not a propane weed torch marketed as a flamethrower. An actual weapon designed to project fire 30-plus feet. These were listed and sold on Amazon before the company tightened its weapons policies.
I remember when this came out. The listings were documented. Screenshots exist. You could add a flamethrower to your cart and check out.
The intended buyer is the problem. It's unclear. Flamethrowers have limited legitimate civilian uses. Agricultural burning, maybe. Controlled burns for forestry. But those users have specialized equipment suppliers. A flamethrower on Amazon, with no licensing check, no background verification, shipped to a residential address, the logistics are terrifying precisely because they're mundane. It arrives in a box. You open the box. You now own a weapon that projects a stream of burning fuel.
And Amazon's moderation didn't catch it until after the fact. These listings were removed eventually, but only after they'd been live and selling for long enough to generate news coverage. The removal process is reactive, not proactive. Someone has to notice and flag it first.
The flamethrower listings were a catalyst for Amazon tightening its weapons policies. But the fact that they existed at all tells you something about how the marketplace works. The automated system that approved the listing saw, what? A tool? A piece of outdoor equipment? The seller probably categorized it carefully to avoid triggering filters. And until a human looked at it and said, wait, that's a weapon, it stayed up.
Number 4 is a different kind of absurd. A used MRI machine. A multi-ton medical imaging device. The kind of thing hospitals buy from specialized medical equipment dealers after months of planning. Listed on Amazon with delivery logistics that would require a crane and a reinforced floor.
This one made me stop and stare. A used MRI machine. We're talking about a device that weighs several tons, requires a shielded room because of the magnetic field, needs a trained technician to install and calibrate, and costs more to ship and install than most people's houses. And it was listed on Amazon like it was a used textbook.
Who's the buyer for a used MRI machine on Amazon?
A small clinic or a veterinary practice in a developing country, maybe, where the equipment supply chain is informal and Amazon is actually the easiest way to source it. Or a medical equipment reseller who's figured out that Amazon's marketplace reaches buyers who wouldn't know how to navigate traditional medical supply channels. The absurdity is the gap between the listing's casual presentation and the reality of the product. The listing page looks like any other product page. Description, specs, shipping estimate, but the thing being described requires a construction project to install.
The shipping estimate alone must have been surreal. Freight delivery of a multi-ton machine, probably requiring a crane truck, probably requiring permits to transport. All calculated at checkout.
And here's the thing about freight delivery for items like this. It's curbside. The truck shows up, the driver lowers the crate to the street, and that's it. You, the buyer, are now the proud owner of a several-ton medical imaging device sitting on the curb in front of your house. Good luck.
Number 3 follows the same heavy equipment logic, but with even more absurdity. A tank. A decommissioned armored vehicle listed on Amazon with delivery arranged via flatbed truck.
This one has been documented multiple times. Decommissioned military vehicles, not always a main battle tank, sometimes an armored personnel carrier or a reconnaissance vehicle, but still a tracked armored fighting machine weighing 10 plus tons. Listed on Amazon. The intended buyer is a collector, a military vehicle enthusiast, or someone with a very specific apocalypse preparedness plan.
The logistics are the punchline. You can't drive a tank on public roads. The tracks would destroy the asphalt. So it arrives on a flatbed truck, which itself requires special permits for an oversized load. The delivery driver shows up at your address, unloads a 10-ton armored vehicle onto your property, and hands you the keys, or the ignition switch, or whatever tanks use.
And you went through the same checkout flow as ordering a toaster. Add to cart, proceed to checkout, enter shipping address, payment method, place your order. The system doesn't pause and say, wait, this is a tank. It just processes the transaction.
What does the shipping confirmation email even look like? Your order has shipped. Track your package. Package.
The tank listings are a perfect case study in how Amazon's marketplace treats everything as a commodity. The listing infrastructure doesn't have a category for armored fighting vehicles, so the seller probably listed it under collectibles or automotive parts. The algorithm saw a product with a price and a weight and a shipping method, and that was enough.
Number 2 is where the absurdity stops being funny. Human remains. Real human skulls, sold by medical supply companies and oddity dealers. These were documented listings. Not rumors. Actual human body parts listed for sale on Amazon.
This one is hard to talk about without getting into some uncomfortable territory. Human skulls have been sold through medical supply channels for a long time. Medical schools, teaching hospitals, that kind of thing. And there's a legitimate regulated trade in anatomical specimens for education and research. But those channels have oversight. They have paperwork. They verify that the buyer is who they say they are.
Amazon's marketplace had none of that. The skulls were listed alongside textbooks and lab coats. The intended buyers were medical students, collectors, and, this is the part that bothers me, artists using them as reference. The listings were matter of fact. Product photos, descriptions of condition, shipping in discreet packaging.
The moral and legal questions here are enormous. Where did these skulls come from? What chain of custody verified that the remains were ethically sourced? In many jurisdictions, the sale of human remains is heavily regulated or outright banned. But Amazon's automated listing system doesn't know the difference between a replica skull and a real one. It sees a product in a category, and it approves it.
A marketplace that bans hate speech and counterfeit goods had listings for actual human body parts. That's not a policy gap. That's a fundamental category error. The system doesn't know what goods means when the goods are human remains.
These listings were eventually removed, but only after they were flagged and reported. And the removal raises its own question. How many other listings like this existed that nobody noticed? The reactive moderation model means we only know about the ones someone found and publicized.
Number 1. The most absurd thing we found. And this one almost doesn't sound real, but it's been documented. A functioning nuclear reactor component. Specifically, listings for subcritical reactor assemblies and particle accelerator parts. Scientific equipment of a caliber that normally moves through government-regulated channels, with export controls and security clearances.
I need to be precise about what was actually listed. These weren't full nuclear reactors you could order and receive in a crate. They were components, subcritical assemblies used for research, neutron sources, accelerator parts. The kind of equipment that, if you know what you're doing, could be assembled into something dangerous. The intended buyer is a research institution or an extremely ambitious and well-funded hobbyist.
The hobbyist possibility is what keeps me up. There's a small but real community of amateur nuclear physicists. People who build fusion reactors in their garages. The kind of people who read scientific papers for fun and have the technical skills to do something with them. Most of them are responsible and safety-conscious, but the equipment they need is normally gated behind institutional purchasing channels. Amazon's marketplace accidentally became a backdoor.
The logistics are almost beyond comprehension. Radiation-sensitive equipment, export-controlled in many cases, requiring specialized handling and shipping, and the checkout flow doesn't ask any of the questions it should. It doesn't ask if you have a license to possess this equipment. It doesn't ask if your shipping address is a research facility. It asks for your credit card number.
What does the delivery look like? Does the freight carrier know they're transporting something that, if mishandled, could be a radiation hazard? Does the driver get any special training or warning? The answer, based on what we can verify, is no. It's just another pallet on a truck.
And this is where the through line of the whole list becomes clear. Each of these items exposes a different failure mode of the marketplace model. Weapons slip through policy gaps. Medical equipment bypasses professional channels. Human remains reveal that the system doesn't know what goods means. And scientific equipment shows that the catalog is only as curated as its sellers choose to be.
The flamethrower, the MRI machine, the tank, those are failures of category. The system doesn't have a category for things that shouldn't be sold to anyone with a credit card, so it puts them in the nearest available category and moves on.
The human remains are a failure of definition. The system treats everything as a product, but not everything is a product. Some things are people or parts of people, and treating them as inventory is a moral failure, not just a logistical one.
And the reactor components are a failure of oversight. The system doesn't know what it doesn't know. It doesn't know that some equipment requires licenses and background checks and regulatory approval. It just processes the transaction.
But here's what I keep coming back to. Every single one of these listings was removed eventually. The system caught them, or more accurately, people caught them and the system responded. The question is whether that's good enough.
Ilbert, you've been listening to this ranking. You've got that look.
And I think you're both making a statistical error dressed up as a moral panic. Let me start with what you got right. Yes, these listings existed. Yes, they're absurd. Yes, some of them are disturbing, the human remains especially. I'm not going to defend a skull showing up in someone's search results. But you're looking at 8 examples across more than 2 decades of operation from a platform that processes billions of listings. Billions. If you found 8 absurd things in a catalog of billions, that's not a systemic failure. That's a system working so well that the only thing you can find to criticize is 8 outliers across 20 plus years.
The rarity argument cuts both ways, though. A plane crash is rare too, but we still investigate everyone.
Sure, and we should investigate these. Amazon did, they removed the listings. The moderation system is reactive, not proactive, and you're treating that like a flaw. But what's the alternative? Pre-screen every listing for absurdity. Who defines absurd? Is a wood chipper absurd? To you, maybe. To a guy with 40 acres of forest, it's a Tuesday purchase.
The wood chipper isn't the one I'm worried about. It's the flamethrower and the human remains.
The flamethrower got removed. The human remains got removed. The system worked, slowly, imperfectly, but it worked. And here's the part I think you're missing. The fact that these things appeared on Amazon at all isn't evidence that Amazon is broken. It's evidence that Amazon is doing exactly what it promised. It's the everything store. Everything includes weird stuff. Everything includes stuff you don't want to buy and stuff I don't want to buy. The promise was never everything we approve of. It was everything.
You're making the marketplace of ideas argument for retail.
I'm making the marketplace argument for a marketplace. If someone lists a decommissioned tank, and someone else wants to buy a decommissioned tank, and the transaction is legal, what exactly is the problem? That it feels weird to you? That's not a policy framework.
The human remains aren't just weird. They're human remains.
And they were removed. And they shouldn't have been listed in the first place. I'll give you that one. That's a genuine failure. But one category of genuine failure doesn't indict the entire model. It indicts the moderation gap for that category, which got fixed. The bigger point is this. You're treating these listings as evidence that Amazon's marketplace is dangerously unmoderated. I think they're evidence of the opposite. They're so rare, so notable, that you had to dig through 20 years of history to find 8 examples. That's a platform that's aggressively moderated, not one that's a free-for-all. The outliers prove the rule.
I'll concede the statistical point. 8 examples across billions of listings is a rounding error. But the question isn't whether the system works on average. It's whether it should work better at the extremes. A flamethrower slipping through once is a rounding error in the data. It's also a flamethrower.
The problem with the Everything Store promise is that it was always going to collide with reality. Everything includes things that shouldn't be sold through a consumer checkout flow. The question is whether that collision is a bug to fix or a window into what people actually want to buy.
And I think the collision is the point. These listings exist because there's demand for them. Someone wants a tank. Someone wants a dinosaur skeleton. Someone wants a used MRI machine. Amazon didn't create that demand. It just made it visible. And visible demand is uncomfortable when the demand is for human remains or flamethrowers.
The marketplace is a mirror. It reflects what people want to buy, not what we wish they wanted to buy, and that reflection is sometimes disturbing.
If you take one thing from this episode, it's that the Everything Store promise isn't a metaphor. Amazon built a system that treats every product as interchangeable. Same listing pipeline, same checkout flow, same shipping infrastructure. And that system works remarkably well for the vast majority of things people buy. But at the edges, where the products stop being consumer goods and start being industrial equipment, or weapons, or human remains, the system doesn't know how to say no.
The system doesn't know what a product is. It just knows how to move it. And that distinction between moving things and understanding them is where all 8 of these listings live.
The open question is what happens next. As Amazon's marketplace grows and AI-driven listing tools make it easier than ever to list anything, will the next decade produce even more absurd items, or will moderation finally catch up? The track record suggests we'll keep finding new edges of the catalog.
The Everything Store was a promise that was always going to collide with reality. The question is whether the collision is something to fix or something to watch.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by Hilbert Flumingtop. If you've ever wondered what else is out there, the answer is probably on Amazon. And that's exactly the problem.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.